Attention Ditto Heads. Attention Bo Scouts.
Goes by the pseudonym Bo Snerdly.
It's time for the Soul of Excellence.
He is a radio host at 77 WABC here in New York.
The Rush Hour is on the air.
Rush, rush.
Now here's rush. Bo Snerdly.
And here we are. Happy Tuesday. WABC Talk Radio 77 in New York. It is James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly. This is Bo Snerdly's Rush Hour. If you'd like to be part of the Rush Hour, all you have to do, pick up your telephone. 800-848-WABC is the number to call. 800-848-9222. And we have all sorts of news. And, of course, today is Tuesday, which means our good friend Mark Stein will be joining us shortly. A lot to discuss with Mark Stein. I'm going to hold the discussion on these protests that are happening at the justices of the Supreme Court houses until Mark comes along. I really want to hear what he has to say about it. I also want to hear what you have to say about it. So if you do have an opinion on that, please give us a call. 800-848-WABC is the number to call. We have some local stories. We have stories that are national but that affect all of us here. Gas prices have hit an all-time high. You know that. All you have to do is go to the gas pump. Thank Joe Biden every step of the way. Joe Biden, of course, today tried to pretend that the economy is his number one concern, and that is the concern that he will try to take all through the elections to get away from everything else. There is a baby food shortage. Our own Jack McCall will be with us later on in the hour to talk about that. And if you have been affected by that baby food shortage, that's the formula, the baby formula, stuff like Enfamil, I guess, and all the rest of it. I don't know the other ones. I remember that from the old days. But if you have been at all affected with this baby formula shortage, please let us know that too. There is a report today that comes from New York One that less than 10% of Manhattan office employees work in person 5 days a week. And that would explain a lot. If you look around Manhattan, especially the borough of Manhattan, you will see there are still many, many office spaces that are vacant. There are some that are filling up now, but there are so many. If you were to compare this to life in the city 5 years ago, you wouldn't believe it. The number of spaces that are available. And therein, I maintain, lies an opportunity. Therein lies an opportunity for people that need to have a presence in this world's biggest market, New York, and that can do business and grow a business here in New York. What we need is cooperation from the local government, meaning the municipal government, Mayor Adams and his crew, to make New York a little bit more livable for people who want to do it, including safety. Safety. Now, here's a story that I had mixed emotions about. This is from CBS News. Street vendors are pushing back against the city, New York City, after a woman was arrested in the New York City subway station. You know what her crime was? She was selling fruit. For over a decade, Maria Falcon has been selling fruit from a cart in the Broadway Junction subway station. She makes about $80 a day. Now, keep in mind, that was for over a decade this woman has been there. 1 week ago, New York City Police Department officials took Maria Falcone away in handcuffs, and they confiscated her things, her food cart, et cetera, et cetera. She's 43 years old. They patted her down. They gave her a summons for unlicensed general vending. Speaking in Spanish, she told a CBS News reporter, "I feel very sad and scared. I've been vending for a long time. I have tried to find other jobs, but I've been turned down because of my age. We're not hurting anybody. We just need a permit to do our work legally." There's a video of the arrest, and that video has sparked the ire of City Council Speaker Adrian Adams. She put out a tweet, "We must provide economic opportunities for New Yorkers who are pursuing them, not criminalize or push them into the justice system." Wow. Feel sorry for her, don't you? Before you weigh in and say how awful the police are, how bad this is, the New York City Police Department says Ms. Falcone was issued another summons several weeks ago. Transit officers gave her multiple warnings that public vending is against the law. There's a reason we have Department of Health standards. If people are just selling food without any form of insurance, the quality of their food, someone could get ill from that. So that's why there are rules in the subway system, Eric Adams said, the mayor. Oh, I guess he's not partying in L.A. anymore. He's back, I guess. Or maybe somebody told him about it. Ms. Falcone says she doesn't want to be selling food in the subway either, but she's not allowed to sell it outside. She claims to have a mobile food vendor's license, but actually there's a cap on the number of permits available to street vendors in New York, and that cap has been in place for almost 40 years. So she's actually not able to legally work as a street vendor. And it's not just her. Thousands of people are on a wait list trying to get a permit, said Karina Kaufman Gutierrez, the deputy director of the Street Vendor Project. Now, I don't know, I have mixed feelings about this. There are laws, and the laws should be obeyed, right? At the same time, you have people that are here. By the way, I wonder if she's here legally or not. She's still, well, I'm sorry. Yes, I do wonder. But let's assume that she's here legally, just for the sake of argument. If there are no opportunities to get a job, what's the woman supposed to do? Starve? On the other hand, we have laws, and we want our laws followed. There's been a 40-year cap on the number of street vendors, especially right now. Don't we want as much economic activity in the city as we can have? So, I don't know. Mixed emotions on this. Would love to hear your thoughts on it. Miami and Urami, or Miami, or Urami, locals are steamed. You know why? New Yorkers have flooded the market, and apartment rents are skyrocketing in Manhattan over 58% over the last 2 years. In some cases, they've doubled, and they've doubled from all the New Yorkers coming down to find apartments in Urami. There was a case of one woman there. She was paying $3,500 a month. That's a hefty rent. But when her lease expired this year, her landlord came and said, "Up, oh, your rent's now $7,000 a month." These are for two-bedroom apartments. So in the desirable Miami neighborhoods now, it's becoming harder and harder for the natives down there in Florida to live because so many New Yorkers have moved in and they're willing to pay whatever it takes to be in one of the elite buildings. Again, opportunities await for Manhattan and for the five boroughs here. This is an opportunity to make New York livable again for a lot of people. I wonder if our politicians, any of them, understand what this moment in time represents. New Jersey. A New Jersey medical practice, family medical practice, has now changed its student-athlete policy. If you're going to play sports in New Jersey in the schools now, you have to take lab work, echocardiograms before you're clear to play. That's because of COVID vaccinations, interestingly enough. In response to worldwide experience in vaccine-adverse event monitoring, we're adopting a more precautionary sports physical sign-off policy. The medical practice, Morris Sussex Family Medical Practice, that's Lake Hopatcong, New Jersey, says, you know what the issue is? there's been a correlation between heart problems and COVID-19 vaccinations. What? What? And this is among young people. What? In late June 2021, apparently, the FDA added a warning to Pfizer and Moderna vaccines after the CDC announced a quote-unquote likely association between a second vaccine shot and a rare heart inflammation in teens and young adults. They're reporting from BizPak Review at the time covered that. This is from AmericanWireNews.com. You can find the story there. And if you have student athletes, I don't care where in the country you are listening to this program, if you have student athletes in your house who have been vaccinated and taken the booster, I would urge you to go to AmericanWireNews.com, download this story, and if you know families where there is a student athlete, even if they're not in your own family, make sure they see this news story, okay? Because this is, remember, you know, these things were quote-unquote mandated, right? Yeah, mandated. It turns out that they're sudden cardiac deaths. Interesting. There's that New York City event planner who was accused of shoving to death the vocal coach. She's being held without bail. How did that happen? 26-year-old. Lauren Pazienza, this is the one who pushed Barbara Gersten on a sidewalk. The 80-something-year-old woman called her a bitch. That was back in March. No one can figure out why. She was hauled into court yesterday, denied bail. She's a flight risk. What difference does that make in New York anymore? Strange, isn't it? WABC Talk Radio 77. This is Bo Snerdley's Rush Hour. We are coming back with Mark Stein, the one and only Mark Stein, right after this.
It's the Rush Hour with Bo Snerdley.
Rush
on
Rush.
77 WABC.
James Golden, known popularly as Bo Snerdley.
This is the Rush Hour with Bo Snerdley.
Rush.
He's always mistakenly British.
Tea and crumpets.
Cheerio.
But he's really a Canuck. Known on all seven continents.
Oh, I know who you are.
America's undocumented anchorman. He's a recording star and a TV star. Tuesdays, James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdley, presents Mark Stein.
Yes, indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only Mark Stein. We have news. Mark Stein just declined the Queen. She has withdrawn from the state opening of Parliament. She asked Mark if he could fill in for the ceremonies. Apparently he told her no, I'm busy. And as a result, Prince Charles and Prince William have to do it. What is with you, Mark?
Well, actually, I did offer my... But before I say anything else, by the way, I love my little intro, but I think it's always a bit anticlimactic after those fantastic golden age WABC 60s jingle package, because they're the best jingles in the history of jingles. They sound fantastic. But you're right that I would have loved to be Governor General of Canada. But whenever I mention that to anybody in Ottawa, they all fall around laughing. But if I ever got to be, then I could go around opening Parliament in Ottawa, and I'd be happy to sit in for her in London. But she refuses to give me the Governor Generalship of Canada. So I'm having to... I've read the art of the deal. You've got to be tough on these things. And I know she's going to cave at some point, because he read it in the dullest monotone I've ever heard.
So you did watch it, of course.
No, I didn't actually. We had a little clip on my show from it, but I couldn't bear to watch it actually, because the whole thing, I love the A throne speech in a Westminster Parliament is fabulous. I love the whole thing where Black Rod knocks on the door of the House of Commons with his stick three times, and then it gets slammed in his face to show that the People's House rejects the royal authority. I love all that stuff. I think it's the Lord Chancellor who walks around saying hats off strangers. So I like all that ritual. And like the State of the Union, where Joe Biden, who appears to be like 40 years older than the Queen, who's 96, can barely. So that way, if you look at the Queen and you look at Joe Biden, Joe Biden must be about 136, I would say, and that just doesn't do it for me. Doesn't have all the same flourishes about it.
Well, you know, Mark, this week I have to get your opinion on this. This week we've seen something that I don't think we've seen before. We've seen these liberal progressives at the houses of conservative justices protesting. Some of them shouting the most vile things in a very threatening manner. It is against the law. It is against the law to try to obstruct justice in this way, to influence a case. Yet they're there. And yet the White House doesn't care, and the Department of Justice doesn't care one whit. What do you make of this?
Well, I think institutions no longer work in Washington. What these guys are doing, and you can imagine what it would be if it was the other way round, if they were outside the house of Kagan or Ketanji Brown or anybody. What they're doing is no different. It's no different than if you were accused of shoplifting or holding up the liquor store and you decided to go round to the judge's house to intimidate the judge. It's the we know where you live thing. And the fact, because you'd think in a normal functioning society there'd be a kind of good cop, bad cop routine. So even if they were giving these fellows a nudge and a wink, they would at least feel obliged to say, oh, we condemn this in the strongest possible terms. But they're not even doing that now. The fact that they can't even say, we don't think you should be going round standing outside the judge's house and intimidating the judge into changing his position. The fact that Jen Psaki and Biden aren't even willing to say that, I think, testifies to the fact that there are no norms in Washington anymore. And God knows where that's going to lead us if it keeps up.
It's not just Washington, though, Mark. The NBC, which used to be one of the three reliable news networks in America, although they've always been liberal, NBC has an article on their website today. Brett Kavanaugh isn't in danger, unlike the abortion precedent he's ready to overturn. This is unbelievable. They're saying, with all these horrid things that these protesters are saying outside his house, oh, so what? He's not in any real danger. What's in real danger, and to them, the only thing that matters is Roe versus Wade. And it goes further in this article. They talk about, they don't even use the word sympathy anymore. They call it himpathy. We shouldn't have himpathy extended to Kavanaugh, because after all, Christine Ballsy Ford had to move after her testimony. She got death threats. This is insanity.
Yeah, and you're right. But it may, if they go further down this road, if they go further down this road, then politics is not possible. Because if you're basically saying, well, this guy's our judge and Kagan is your judge, and in other words, if that's how they're splitting it up, and we're all allowed to do this. And in fact, it's not like that because, you know, as you know, they painted January the 6th as an insurrection, which it wasn't. And those guys are ruined and they've been in solitary confinement and under the usual dirty, stinking, rotten, corrupt federal quote unquote justice system. They're stuck in prison with no, you know, on a trespassing charge with no trial date, which is how this dirty, stinking, rotten, corrupt federal justice system operates. So you have that on the one hand. But on the other hand, if you try and nobble a judge in a Supreme Court case by going and standing outside the guy's house, that's perfectly fine. So you can't have this, it gets to the heart of what's wrong in America, which is the lack of equality before the law. This guy, Garland, Merrick Garland, who's a dirty, stinking, rotten, corrupt attorney general, actually should be going on television and telling these people, you don't do this. You don't do this to any judge. It doesn't matter whether you were holding up the gas station. It doesn't matter whether you stole a Mars bar from the 7-Eleven. You don't do this to a judge. And the fact that they're just standing by and letting it happen means there's nothing that works. There's no agreement on anything. Judges have become like a super legislature now, the Supreme Court, which should never have happened. The founding fathers would be disgusted. A judge's republic is not a republic in any sense. But the fact of the matter is, if you're then going to apply intimidation and thug pressure on individual judges, well, you're not going to get any justice, are you? They're going to what are they meant to do? Oh, Amy Coney Barrett. Oh, unfortunately, they went round to my kid's grade school and started leaning on the 7-year-old. I mean, there's no end to this. You can't share the same polity if this is how you want to conduct politics.
There was a candidate out in, California, who ran for Congress. He thankfully didn't win. He says that when Kavanaugh's family moves to a hotel, the house is empty, burn his SHI in front of the hotel. Go in the house, burn it all, get his stuff and burn it. There was another actress, a fairly, I guess, well-known actress, who says she wishes she could have gotten pregnant with Trump's baby and carried it almost to term, so then she should cut it out of herself and behead it. I mean, these people are, this is, Mark, I've never seen anything like this in America. Has there ever been?
No, I don't think so. This is not normal. I mean, I'm watching, you know, the Sri Lankan prime minister had to resign, basically because he went full Green New Deal. instead of just paying lip service to it, the Sri Lankan prime minister made the mistake of doing it for real. So the Sri Lankan people have got mad about it and actually burned down. They did what they're merely threatening to do to American judges. They actually burned down Sri Lankan cabinet ministers' houses.
The fact of the matter
is that that's because, you know, he went full Green New Deal and so he collapsed everything. When you're actually saying in public, I'd like to be impregnated by Trump, so that I could carry that baby to term, and then as it's being delivered from my womb and coming down the canal, I can slice its head off as it's being born. Oh, yes, you sound a very well-adjusted person. Why are you? That's a really great thing to put out there on a tweet, but maybe you should have saved it for your Oscar acceptance speech. The fact is, when you're talking like that, politics has made you mad. The fact is, All these people who go on about abortion and abortion absolutism, they're out of touch with the majority of the country, which, you know, insofar as it supports abortion, wants a kind of Scandinavian, you know, first trimester abortion regime. They don't want to hear their showbiz liberal heroes looking forward to being impregnated by Trump so they can decapitate the baby as it exits the womb. If you're feeling like, I don't often offer advice to liberal showbiz personalities, but if you've got the urge to tweet that, I think the best thing to do is to lie down in a darkened room with a cup of herbal tea for an hour and a half until the feeling goes away. And if that doesn't work, I would get on a plane to Tahiti and lie down for 6 months until it passes.
I love it. Speaking of Green New Deal, last little item here. California, this is from SoCal, Southern California. They have apparently, according to the Washington Post and the LA Times, there are two stories today about this, water has become a problem. So they right now are facing unprecedented water conservation And they are having a cow because they're telling people, you're going to have to let your landscaping die. You can't water 8 minutes twice a week. That's all the water you can do. And if stuff dies, just, you know, stuff looks good when it's dead. So don't worry about it. And people that have invested hundreds of thousands of dollars making their lawns so plush, they are outraged. They're like, this is impossible. We're not going to do this.
No, this is California. Look, the population of California has basically doubled in the last 50 years, from 20 million to 40 million. But they haven't built a new dam since the 60s. And so suddenly there doesn't seem to be enough water to go around now. So you bought your nice $24 million beachfront property in Malibu, and now you're looking at desert outside your window. You're up in the Beverly Hills, so you're up there in the hills looking down at all the riffraff in the valleys below. And instead what you're looking at is just like the deserts of all the cheaper houses below you. This is you Californians voted for this. You had the golden state, and you voted to turn it into a wreck and a ruin. And that's what they're all telling us now. That's fantastic. You know, I say that as a Canadian. We're the house of sound of water. Because basically... Yeah. And you know something? If I were Prime Minister of Canada, I'd look at this story in Southern California and I'd say, oh, I tell you what, we'll send a pipeline of some of our Canadian water that we've got tons of all the way to you Californians. And the first thing that would happen is that Joe Biden would cancel the Canadian water pipeline.
You love it.
You voted for the death of the greatest, most beautiful state on the planet, and now you're seeing it.
Mark, thank you. So here's what I want to know, though. Fire season is coming, so now you're going to have an entirely dry Southern California. Warning, red flag, this could end up very, very badly.
No, I know when you look at the Google Earth thing of some of these fires, you know, that are happening north up the coast, it's amazing. Sometimes you can see that it's almost like these fires know the jurisdictional borderlines at which to stop. And it might give you the impression that some of the environmental policies you're following are causing some of these fires. As I said, that's just a Google Earth thing.
Thank you, Mark. As always, such a pleasure to have you.
Thanks a lot, James.
James Golden, a.k.a. Snurly, here. This is Bo Snurly's Rush Hour. We're coming right back after this. Don't go away.
Rush.
This is the Rush Hour with Bo Snurly.
Bo Snurly.
On 77 WABC. It's the Rush Hour with Bo Snurdly.
Goes by the pseudonym Bo Snurdly.
Rush.
Now here's Bo Snurdly.
Remember, Cats at Night is up next on WABC Talk Radio 77. We're headed to the telephones. Stevie Wonder brings us back. This is from the Hotter Than July album. All I Do Is Think About You. He wrote that song in the... Let's see. I think he wrote that song almost 20 years before he recorded it himself. Brenda Holloway did a version of this song. I think Tammy Terrell on a solo album did a version of this song. All I Do Is Think About You. Let's go to Rhonda in South Bend, Indiana. Rhonda, how are you?
I'm doing great, James. I just wanted to call and pick your brain a little bit. This story you shared about the actress and her awful remarks about having a baby with Trump is just horrifying. It's really difficult to hear. I would love to hear, I just think it would be such a relief and a change of pace to hear you talk about the women in your life, whether it's your mother, your grandmother, friends that you know, who have had a strong, powerful, loving impact on you, because that kind of shrill hatred to me is the last thing from feminine. And I would love for you to talk about some women who are loving and feminine.
You're one of them, Rhonda. I know a lot about you. I know a lot about your family. We're friends. And I know the struggles that you've been through as a family, and how you love and stay by your sons. You are a remarkable human being. But I have so many other friends like that. I have friends, for instance, who have been through divorces and have had children, and they've been left to fend for their children pretty much on their own. The husbands have just vacated from the scene and or been so hostile afterwards that these women had to really raise their children by themselves, and they did so without, number one, without trying to make the children hate their fathers. They've also done it with a lot of love and sacrifices, in some cases sacrifices that their children will never know about because they didn't want their children to feel guilty. I have other women friends in my life who, I have one whose son is going through a really difficult moment right now. And the concern that she has for him, he's grown. But it's just like, and she also wants to make sure that he comes out of it feeling whole without his, grew up surrounded by aunts that when we didn't see them very much, but when I did see them, were nothing but love. I look at the way that my sister raised her children. I look at the way that my nieces now are raising their children, and I'm just so gratified to see it all. There are, all of us have examples. I have another friend who chides me sometimes. She had a baby when she was 16 years old, and again, the guy left. She could be one of these people that easily said, I'm not doing this. I'm going to have an abortion. And I'm going to not do this. But instead, she chose to keep the child and raise the child by herself pretty much. And he is a wonderful man today because of the love that she gave him while working two jobs. These women are heroes. These women are the backbone of this country. I have other friends who have had more kids. One of my friends has 5 children that she pretty much had to raise on her own because the husband was a deadbeat. Okay? And they don't complain. They never try to make these men look bad. What they do is raise the children with strength, with love and devotion. And so it's all around us. We have women that are heroes all around us. And I know we overuse the word hero sometimes, but they genuinely are because they don't complain. We don't read their stories in the press. They're not out there with looking for sympathy. What they do is they go through life and they do everything that they can be to give their everything that they can do to give their children the best possible start in this world that they possibly can. Your take?
I love that, James. You almost made me cry now. I want to tell you this yet. As a mother of 4 sons, 3 of them are adults now, it is the greatest thing in the world when someone else sees something good that one of my boys is or has done and calls it out. So while I am not your mother, I am a mother. And I just want to tell you, James, how proud I am of what you are doing, of how you're doing it with all the boldness and the courage, and yet you carry a basic respect for other human beings, and that comes through. So I'm proud of you for that. I pray for you. I think of you often. I'm so glad that we are friends. I pray for your family, and I want you to know that you're a blessing to so many people. I don't know if you expected after Rush died that your career would take off like it has, but you're doing. That's what I thought. And you would be too humble to have looked for that. I think I know you that well. But we need your voice. And one of our sons just returned from a semester interning in the Senate in Washington, D.C., and he got to see some of the backside of politics, okay? And he told me one day on the phone, he said, Mom, I'm starting to understand how rare James's voice is.
Wow. I don't even know what to say. Thank you. Thank him. That's just amazing, Rhonda. Love you, darling. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
Wow, that kind of blew me away. James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly, with us right now. Ace reporter with WABC, Jacqueline Carl. Jacqueline, there's some stories in the news that are distressing. One of them concerns this shortage. And we see pictures now from major retailers, from big box stores, of empty shelves where there used to be baby formula. What can you tell us?
Well, yeah, it's a huge problem right now. And retail tracking group Dadassembly reports that the shortage of baby food rose to 40% by late April. The CEO of Dadassembly says inflation, supply chain issues, and product recalls are the culprits causing the shortage. And there's also, I don't know if you heard about this, Bo, one of the key manufacturing plants for baby food owned by a company called Abbott Nutrition shut down. That because the CDC and the FDA are investigating because of contaminated formula linked to the deaths of two infants. So now that plant, which is in Michigan, has been shut down for a while. A spokesperson for Abbott Nutrition says they're working closely with the Food and Drug Administration to restart production at the Michigan plant. But some stores, they have no choice. They're like Target, CVS, they're limiting how much baby food consumers can purchase. Like some people can only get 3 cans of baby food. And according to NBC News, 26 states are experiencing baby food shortages of 40% to 50%. And parents are getting very nervous that they can't find what they need to feed their children.
This is astounding. Is there any hope for relief down the pipeline here? Is someone saying, okay, we expect this to be resolved by X date?
No, I do have a cut about President Biden talking about easing the supply chain, which is 41. Hang on.
The bottom line is easing these bottlenecks and making our supply chains more secure is a major focus of my economic strategy.
Okay, so that doesn't give us an ETA, and people are all over the internet trying to figure out what to do, and they're being warned not to make baby food themselves, try to make it themselves, and because it can be very dangerous for infants. So the advice being given is, go to your pediatrician and find out, because some of them know places where you can buy it. They can give you advice on what to do, because we don't have an ETA as to when this plant is going to open, when the supply chain is going to be fixed. And, you know, we've got inflation, product recalls. I mean, how can you possibly know?
This is amazing.
I know.
COVID going up in Manhattan, COVID going up in the city.
Yeah.
And I understand... No one is interested in bringing back right now at this point any of the mask mandates or anything else.
Well, okay, here's what's going on. COVID-19 testing, this is the problem. Testing has plummeted globally. So it's making it harder for scientists to track the course of the pandemic and to spot viral variants. In the U.S., home testing is also hindering efforts to track the virus. Now, the positivity rates in parts of New York City are over 20%. Spikes are seen in Long Island City, sections of Queens, the Financial District, and Lincoln Square. And, you know, the New York, well, we had Bernie and Sid had a guest this morning, Nicole Sapphire, and this is what she says.
These variants thus far, all of them thus far that have come out, have essentially been less severe, causing a lower hospitalization and death rate when it comes to how many people are actually being infected.
So that's a little bit of good news. And New York City Health Commissioner Dr. Ashwin Vasant said a mask mandate is an option if things get worse. Because as you know, last week we went from low risk in New York to medium.
Yeah, well, there are a lot of people that are not looking forward to that. So we'll have to just keep track of this story. And, of course, you'll keep us up to date on it.
Absolutely.
Last thing, Elon Musk. What does he have to say?
You know, he says if he buys Twitter, he's going to reverse the social media platform's ban of Donald Trump. He was speaking virtually at a Future of the Car summit, and he says that Twitter's Trump ban was, quote, a morally bad decision and foolish to the extreme. He went on to say bans should be rare and reserved for accounts that are scams or automated bots. And you can go to WABCradio.com for more on that story, or you can sit here and listen to Bo and myself.
Thank you. Jacqueline Carl, thank you so much. We appreciate it, and we'll speak with you later in the week.
Thanks for having me, Bo.
Bo Snerdly's Rush Hour, coming right back. More of your calls straight ahead. Don't go away.
It's the Rush Hour with Bo Snerdly.
Rush
on
Rush.
77 WABC.
James Golden, known popularly as Bo Snerdly.
This is the Rush Hour with Bo Snerdly.
Rush, Rush.
Wow, you don't know how serendipitous this is. This, of course, is Stylistics. Written, produced, I believe Tom Bell and Linda Creed wrote this one. Of course, produced by Tom Bell, who I may be in contact with very soon, thanks to a caller from this program. Amazing day, and so what a coincidence to hear this song. I'm still in love with you. Well, stone in love with you. Anyway, let's head to the phones. We're doing rapid phones. You got to get right to your point when you get on. Let's start in Trumbull, Connecticut with Bob. Bob, welcome. You're on Bo Snerdly's Rush Hour. What's your point?
Mr. Snerdly, you started the program by asking about the protesting and the judges. I say let the judges dial 911 and have the operator say, well, Your Honor, that's why we have the Second Amendment. Protect yourself until we get there. And we'll be there in about 20 minutes. So maybe they will finally rule on something that is in the Constitution.
Interesting. So. Thank you so much for the call. Let us go to Middletown, New Jersey. Sergio, welcome. You're on Bo Snerdly's Rush Hour.
Sir, how you doing? Number one, Democrats are hypocrites. Number two, Democrats are liars. Number three, Democrats don't want to know who the leaker is. Republicans do. That says so much more than people really know. I think that, you know, I can't wait to get President Trump back. Let's go. We all know he won.
All right. Thank you. Let us head over to Brooklyn, New York. And after Brooklyn, we're going to the Bronx. But let's head over to Brooklyn and Frank. What's on your mind, Frank?
Yes, I'm very much against this pro-choice business. I'm all in favor of our, you know, United States Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade and giving it back to the states and then let the states decide, because that's the way it should be. And that's bad enough. This what they're doing now, this is crazy. The whole world is coming unwrapped all at once.
Thank you for your call. Appreciate that. Let us head to the Bronx and speak with Jeremiah. Jeremiah, welcome. You on Bo Snerdly's Rush Hour. What is on your mind this afternoon?
Welcome, James. What's on my mind? This Roe versus Wade or same-sex marriage, that's not important. We don't need that. We got to control the economy. We got to take care of the situation with Russia, low-income housing, homelessness, crime. That's what's important. You know, this Roe versus Wade, who cares? Who cares? Or if it goes all the way down to same-sex marriage, who cares? That's what it's all about.
The babies that are being aborted might beg to be different with you if they have a chance to grow and live and express what they think. I think a lot of people care, because I think this speaks to the morality of America. And that is very important. The morality of America is the underpinning of everything else. Without a moral basis, without a moral compass, this country is lost. Let us go to Steve, Suffolk County. Steve, welcome. You're on Bo Snerdly's Rush Hour. Remember, Cats at Night comes up next. What's on your mind, Steve?
Let me ask you this, man. What would happen if all the radical lefties in America suddenly woke up in China or Russia and tried to do what they're doing in the United States? What would happen to them?
Well, we know what would happen to them in China. They would be immediately sequestered into a jail cell, and many of them never heard from again. Same thing in Russia. You raise a very good point. America, the land of the free. Let us go to Suffolk County and speak with Steve. You're on Bo Snerdly's Rush Hour. Steve, what's on your mind this afternoon? Ah, right. Let's go to Michael. I'm sorry. Michael in New Jersey. Hello, Michael. Thanks for waiting. What's on your mind, Michael?
I believe that we are watching the dissolution of America for three reasons. One, these people are committing an illegal act by protesting judges, especially Supreme Court. That's bad enough. Number two, they are defying government authority, which is the beginning of anarchy. And number three, which is interesting, based on what Schumer said, that they will pay for what they did, and Nancy Pelosi, and the fact that Merrick Garland is not even coming back, coming out with the FBI, we are watching a pogrom.
Okay. Michael, thank you for the call, and thank you for stating your point of view so very well. Let me just disagree with you. I think we're at the beginning of a new dawn for America. Finally, after 50 years of the liberals controlling the cultural agenda in America and ruining American culture, we have conservatives, we have Republicans, and we have like-minded Democrats standing up and pushing back. We have them not only pushing back against this idea that we should have millions and millions of abortions, but they are also pushing back on the very moral compass of this nature. They're pushing back on political correctness. They're pushing back on the idea that we should tolerate the redefinitions of what American citizens know is the right thing to do. We are at the beginning of a new dawn for America, in my point of view. Let us go to Washington Heights. Isaac, welcome, Isaac. You're on Bo Snerdley's Rush Hour. What's on your mind this afternoon?
Mr. Snerdley, great to talk to you. So I got, I'm looking at this Supreme Court justice protest, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, these protests aren't good. But maybe the bigger issue is that we've got such radically different beliefs on the two sides of the political aisle. And we already see people in different parts of the country sort of, you know, self-selecting and going to areas of the country that are more consistent with their ideologies. So, you know, maybe it's time for an amicable national divorce. I know, in the past you've voiced opposition to that idea. I know Rush wasn't a fan. But I look around and I say, well, you know, if we live free, they want to live unfree. So maybe that's what we ought to do.
Let them. Well, Isaac, listen, I don't believe that we should engage in the idea that there should be another quote-unquote divorce, another civil war in America, because it would not be just this peaceful separation and an amicable thing. It would not be that. And I think we need to live with the idea that we can be a United States of America with differing ideas. Look, conservatives for years, look at this, for 50 years, we have been exercising our rights within the system to try to overturn Roe versus Wade, which many of us thought was bad law, should have never been in. And by the way, liberals like Ruth Bader Ginsburg also agreed that Roe v. Wade was enacted poorly. This was a poor decision. But we, conservatives, Republicans, said, okay, we'll work in the system. And it took 50 years for us to finally get members on the court that are willing, apparently, to change and undo this. Now, you know what? Liberals need to learn how to do the same thing, to live with an act by the Supreme Court that they don't necessarily agree with, and to function within the boundaries of American law if they want to change it. And that is entirely permissible. And we don't have to go to war with each other. What we have to do is install once again a contract with our citizens, so that we understand that no matter what the differences are, America is a nation that is worth keeping together, and that we can work within the system to try to resolve the differences that we have. I will never agree to the idea that Americans should divorce from one another. I do think that we can learn to live with each other. And that is part of the greatness that we have, and that we should call for, and that we should live up to. James Golden, a.k.a. Snerdley, thank you so much for being here. It is our Bo Snerdley Rush Hour every weekday at 4 o'clock. And, of course, we're here Saturday morning for our radio extravaganza at 7 a.m. from 10 on Saturdays. May God bless, protect each and every one of you and your families. Remember, Cats at Night, coming up next. We'll be back tomorrow, 4 o'clock. Please be here. See you then. Bye.